Amen. Lady back there gave me this. It's pretty heavy. It's a magnifying glass. Wonder where she got the idea I needed something like that. Thank you very much. When he said I was going to sing a duet with him, I thought about hitting him with it. It's pretty heavy. So it's a good paperweight also. I haven't taken it out of the package yet. Well, good to be here. Somebody said at your age, it's good to be anywhere, preacher. Understand that. Let's go to John chapter 12. We're going to actually leave chapter 11 and get into John chapter 12 this morning. We're going to the book of John, of course, chapter by chapter and verse by verse. That's the way we are doing in Sunday school. Best way to learn your Bible is to bring it to church. Amen. And the preacher gets up, reads his portion. You read it, follow along with him. And same thing in Sunday school. I got saved when I was 22 years old and didn't know any Bible. I literally did not know any. I mean, I had heard John 3:16, but I certainly didn't have it memorized. And after just a few months, I mean, probably 3-4 months, something like that, preacher came to me and said, I want you to teach Sunday school. I said, preacher, I don't know the Bible. I teach Sunday school. He said, I've got a class of 11-year-old boys, and if you don't go in there Sunday, they won't have anybody. I felt more pressure then than I've ever felt before a big congregation in these last 50 years. Amen. And I'm sure a lot of them probably knew more Bible than I did. But by the grace of God, I started and never have quit. I said that because that's the way they were teaching Sunday school, opening the Bible chapter by chapter and verse by verse. Somebody said, have you ever read the Bible all the way through? Of course, but I have almost taught it verse by verse all the way through in all the time I've been saved. And I wish I could remember it all, folks. I'll be honest with you now. Since I've got old enough to get a senior citizen's discount, I forgot so much. Say, so how do you forget it? Well, even when you read it again, it comes and goes. Now, it used to kind of come and stick. Anybody have that problem? I sure do anymore. John chapter 12. Now, we've just finished up here on stating about Jesus raising Nicodemus from the dead. And that's he doesn't disappear there with just that story. He continues. We'll pick him up here again in chapter 12. Now, of course, Jesus has been under attack by the Pharisees, and there was a crowd that was mocking Jesus all the time. They couldn't accept that he was God come incarnate in the flesh. That was the problem they were having with him. And so now, when he keeps doing these miracles, that's a real problem for them too, because they recognize that it must be of God, that they didn't want to admit it. Folks, it's one thing to not believe something, but when truth hits you in the face, you ought to admit it. Amen. These Pharisees didn't want to do that. It didn't matter what. You still see a lot of that in the news today, don't you? The last 4 years, we were told not to believe our eyes, remember? If you don't know what I'm talking about, you must have believed it. Hope not. They tell us that about a lot of things. Even in so-called religion today, they want you to check your brain at the door and come on in and accept everything. That's a lot of that foolishness still goes on. Bible is what you want to test it by. It's the rule book. God says it, then that's right. If it's not Bible, if it's against the Bible, then it's wrong. Simple as that. Take that position, you'll never go wrong with it. But then you got to study your Bible to know what it says. Got to read it. And ask God to bless it as you read it. We're going to start here in John chapter 12. I'm going to try to read a little faster, go a little faster on this. It says, then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus, which had been dead when he raised him from the dead. Now, same town of Bethany, we pick that up in other places in the scripture. It says, and they made him a supper, talking about Jesus. And Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Now, don't you imagine the whole neighborhood, the crowd's been keeping their eye on Lazarus also? Anybody ever see that Twilight Zone show where the guy got up out of the casket? You got to watch those deep shows, folks. Anyway, I can imagine he was still the talk of the neighborhood. This was something big, and it was messing up the status quo of the religion also. So here's Jesus now at the house of Mary and Martha, and Lazarus is sitting with him. It says, then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, anointed his feet, the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Now that was, says, we'll find out it was not only precious, it was expensive. And I'm sure it had a great odor to it. It was that was used, as we'll find out here, for recognize that Jesus was going to die, and it's going to be the same stuff that was used on his burial. Talked about that before. The women came to the tomb on first Sunday morning of the resurrection. They came bringing spices and other things. It was still a follow-up to keep the body from smelling. You remember when Lazarus here is dead, and they told Jesus, he's been dead 4 days. He stinketh by now. So this was part of it. And she is saying something ahead of time to the Lord Jesus. I know that you are going to die. And so she's anointing his feet here. And it says, always got some critics around. And of course, here's a bunch of them following Jesus all the time. Verse 4, then saith one of his disciples, should have been a Pharisee saying it, but guess who it is? Judas Iscariot. He's a traitor, Simon's son, which should betray him. You know, every now and then it mentions Judas Iscariot, Simon's son. There was others named Judas. But isn't that something terrible if your son had the reputation of Judas Iscariot, and every time his name was mentioned, he's mentioned as your son? That'd be pretty rough on it, wouldn't it? But anyway, Judas Iscariot here is the one now that's griping. It tells why he was griping. This is kind of up to date with what we see going on in politics and government and so many places today. He says, why was this ointment not sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? Isn't it amazing how everybody steals in the name of the poor? A lot of people got rich off of helping the poor. That's kind of an oxymoron, or whatever you call it. But that's the truth still today. And it says in verse 6, and here's the whole motive behind it. This he said, not that he cared for the poor. That's the big thing. Not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put in therein. Now, the bag was the treasury. Now, somebody says, well, when did the church get started? I don't know, but the first church had a treasury in it, and he was crooked. Judas Iscariot, amen. The truth of the matter is, we see this in politics and so on today. A lot of stuff in the news about Trump and Musk cutting government waste. Isn't it amazing who lines up against that? The ones that were stealing most of the time, just like Judas Iscariot. Getting rich off of taking what did not belong to them. That's been big business for a long, long time. And wouldn't it be wonderful if all our tax money was used for the right thing? Boy, the waste that goes on, some of the stuff they've exposed and even got through to where we've heard it on the news is amazing. I don't want to go down the list, but some of you have heard all that stuff, that teaching homosexuality and lesbianism and transgenderism and all this with our tax money, even taking it to other nations and teaching it over there. Finance it. That is amazing, unbelief thing. But it shows you that whoever is stealing and sending it and behind it, that's where their heart is. They're into that evil. They want to portray that evil and propagate that evil and send it around the world. When we were visiting with the underground church in Russia years ago and came back home, I've said this before, we got letters from some of the preachers over there said, please, when you have Americans come over here, please tell them not to bring that rock music with them, not bring that bad stuff with them. We've been protecting our kids from that. The sad thing, but America has not only sent the good news of the gospel around the world, we've sent sin around the world also. We've sent our worst side, some of our garbage that should have never been sent, and financed it with our own money. Here's, human nature hadn't changed that much, folks. You still got your Judas Iscariots. You still got your thieves. You still got the pretense of doing good and making a profit off of it. And that's what Judas was here. He didn't want the money. He didn't care about the poor. He wanted it for himself, which intimates here. It doesn't say he stole from the bag, but he must have. He must have taken, been a thief. That's what he was stealing from. And he didn't care about the poor. So he said this because he was a thief. Then we move on down to verse 7. Then said Jesus, let her alone against the day of my burying. Hath she kept this? She had been saving it up. She kept it. And she was communicating kind of personally with Jesus by this very act. Did the rest of them know? Apparently not. He kind of exposed it here. She's keeping this. She's been saving this against my burying. And you remember even Peter himself, when the Lord started talking about I'm going to be crucified, he said, oh, no, he didn't want that. He wasn't going to allow that. Even the disciples still had not got the picture. As much as he had taught them that he was going to be buried and that he was going to rise again. So as we look at it here, verse by verse again, verse 9, much people of the Jews therefore knew that he was there. And they came not for Jesus' sake only, but they might see Lazarus. I can imagine if Lazarus had wanted to make some money, he probably could have too. He could have sold tickets. Come see the man that was dead and alive now. Can't you imagine? Boy, we have a lot of crookedness going on sometime, and much of it is in the name of religion one way or another. Going to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. Now, that would be an attraction. I remember a story written years ago, and they had one here not so many years, maybe just a couple of years ago, about a man that actually was swallowed by a whale. And I guess when the whale was caught or whatever, anyway, the man lived. So there was a time way back, there is a story. Can't prove it, but it's written in books. I've read it. And this man, I think, was in London, England, that after the whale ship had killed the whale and they found the man still breathing, they said that his skin had turned real bad looking. He was just about dead, and all the hair and all was fingernails and all was gone. But that guy was able to stand up on the street, I believe it was in London, and sell tickets to come see the man that the whale had swallowed. People, our nature, human nature on the bad side has not changed. We still do everything we can, politicize it, make a dollar off of it, cheat, claim to help the poor, not, all that stuff still goes on. But they came to see Lazarus. This was causing a real problem for the religious crowd, for the Pharisees, because every time they looked at Lazarus, knew he'd been dead, that was a witness that Jesus was who he said he was, that he was the Son of God, that he was God incarnate in the flesh. This went against all the tradition, all the religious dogmas and ceremonies and all that the Pharisees represented. And people were after Lazarus. Now we notice here, you've heard me say before, the hate we've seen for Donald Trump, not that he is anywhere close to Jesus, but the thing is this, compared to what else, he looked very good. Today's Memorial Day, I may say something about it later this morning, but I'm proud some old-fashioned Americans woke up. Things are looking a little better, humanly speaking. I'm thankful for that. But with that said, think about this same case right here. Lazarus, they needed to get rid of. They wanted to kill him. The Bible does tell us to pray for our leaders, and I've mentioned that before, but the truth of the matter is, I'm going to say something personally, you may not like it, and I'm surprised Donald Trump's still alive, because the hate that has been against him has been supernatural. It's been above just mad over a policy or mad over something he said. Mad over what apparently he's standing for when he's trying to do something right, something honest, clean up the corruption or something like that. But we saw this week where the Jewish couple was shot down right there in the British Museum. I hope you saw that. Do you know we're in a day and age, in spite of all the protection you might have, if somebody wants to kill you and don't care about being caught, they can do it. All they have to do is just walk up to you close enough. And that's going to happen more and more, I fear. But we ought to be praying that the president stays alive. I hope he's going to be, I believe he wouldn't be there had it not be for God protecting him anyway. But with that said, he still needs protection. So he still does need our prayers. So you agree with all he does? No. But I'm sure glad I'm not president. I'd hate to be making those decisions. I've kind of joked a little bit with Brother Parsons from time to time around here. He's taken over. And I know what's on his plate. I know how loaded he is and how much he's trying to keep up with. Once in a while, just in a passing word, I've said something like this to him. He'd say, well, you know, we got to deal with the radio tower. We got to deal with this, that. I said, you know what's good about that? He gave me a look, and I said, the good thing about that is I'm not pastor anymore. Now, I'm being a little facetious about it. I understand it's a problem, and I sure do pray for him. But I also know what kind of load he's carrying. And same thing with the president, man. I can't believe the man goes without sleep like he does. I can't believe he's getting as much done as he is with all the opposition he's got against. Not perfect, of course. We got a perfect one coming. He's just not here yet. Amen. Anyway, let's move on down a little bit. But the chief priest, down in verse 10, consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death. Now, they want to kill Jesus. They got that plan. In fact, the last verse of the chapter 11 up there, we're putting out a command for everybody to tell to spy on Jesus. They wanted to get him. They finally do. And they wanted to kill Lazarus too because of the testimony that he represented for the Lord Jesus. And so it says here, because of their, many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. Listen, because of Lazarus' sake, they went away and believed on Jesus. Do you know how long you've been saved, how long I've been saved, our lives that we've lived that God has given us? I'd like to think, and I hope you would think this also, somebody ought to have believed on Jesus because of me somewhere, sometime. You say, well, I'm not a preacher. No, but you're a saved person. You should share your testimony enough by word and by deed, by life, that somebody else says they know Jesus. That ought to be a testimony. Lazarus here, by the fact he'd been dead and he's alive. Do you know if you've been saved, you were dead, now you're alive? You got a different life, you're a new creature in Christ. That is a testimony. And we should have somebody that got saved because they saw the difference in us when we came to Christ. And that's what they hated Lazarus for, because people were believing on him. Then it says in verse 12, on the next day, much people that were come to the feast. Now remember Passover, it came to Bethany 6 days before Passover. We've talked about the different Passovers a few times. So starting here now, we are going to see the triumphal entry of Christ, what we celebrated not long ago called Palm Sunday. The reason we call it Palm Sunday was because we've seen the pictures, and it was true that they waved a lot of palms in the entourage that followed the lamb, the sacrificial lamb that was being brought into the temple to be offered on the day of Passover. There was a crowd that came through the eastern gate, a crowd of priests. I've talked to you about that before. It was a big show. It was a ceremony. The lamb had been tied in the temple square for everybody to come look, see if they could find a blemish. See, all these Pharisees following Jesus was fulfilling the scripture and didn't even know it. They were themselves examining the very Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus. They're trying to find fault in him. Finally, when he is brought before the Roman governor, Pilate, he said, I find no fault in him. But they were doing what was being done to the sacrificial lamb. It had to be examined. And if it had a discolored hair on it or a blemish, it couldn't be the Passover lamb. It had to be without spot and without blemish. We have talked to you the other morning. I guess last time I preached, I tried to preach a little bit on the ashes of the red heifer. They think now that they have found a red heifer. And so far, they have been examining it week after week, day after day. So far, they have not found a blemish. If they find a blemish, then it cannot be the one. But if they find one without blemish, they will sacrifice it, they'll burn it, they'll take the ashes, and they'll renew the ceremony again of the ashes of the red heifer. This the other morning, so I don't get off in it too much, but big cause of October the 7th when Hamas attacked Israel was they had heard that they possibly had the red heifer, which meant they would start the sacrifice and build the temple, and that's where the war between the Arabs and the Jews is still a religious war. Most of us understand that a little bit, and the awful stuff is taken on. It was a great fear that Hamas had that Israel's going to rebuild the temple. In fact, they rebuilt the altar. It was actually in the news. I even saw a picture of it in the paper. And so that was the trigger that caused them to go over the wall, so to speak, after destroying Israel. So folks, let me just say this. And I can't take time to develop it. I may say something. I can't help it. Just because Donald Trump got elected, prophecy's not over. Prophecy's not been fulfilled and laid aside. Truth is, if anything, it's speeded it up. Let me give you an example. How many of you, I'm getting off the scripture now, but I'll come back. I'll circle back, maybe. Maybe. How many have been hearing in the news enough about AI? You know what AI represents? Artificial intelligence. Most of you use some of that. Well, I'm joking at you, but I sure could. With all that said, artificial intelligence, I don't understand how it could be, but I do tell you this, the Word of God predicted it. Say, oh, yeah, show me. I won't now, but if you'll go home and take your Bible and open up to Revelation chapter 13, you'll read that the image of the beast will look like him, talk like him, and they couldn't do that before artificial intelligence was invented. You know what I just said? So how long have you been hearing about it? We've been hearing about it about a year. That's not very long. Not very long. We often thought in years gone by, well, maybe television was fulfilling that because we could see images on TV. They were not real live people. We could see the pictures, see them moving and all that. Well, that's part of it. It's still part of the technology. But now artificial intelligence. I made a phone call yesterday fussing about a credit card. You never had to do that, I hope. They get all mixed up sometime. Anyway, at the beginning of the phone call, they warn you this call is going to be recorded. But they also said, this is a new twist, we're also going to take your voice. In other words, what they were saying, we're recording your voice that we can reproduce it. Do you understand now what they're saying about artificial intelligence? That not only could they make my picture, make an image of me, make it talk, make it move, but it'll be the very voice. If you ever heard my voice, you would say, that's him. I have a little problem with that, being on the radio as much as I have been through the year. I've been in a lot of stores where somebody started looking at me funny, and I'm paying my bill or something. I know you. I thought I'd never seen you before. I heard you on the radio. Voice sound. I recognize it. Well, I'm saying to you, don't get too complacent. The Lord Jesus is still coming. This is right on top of us, folks. Real, you know, things come in so smooth, sometimes we just accept it. Forget. Just think back 10 years ago. Just 10 years ago, if I'd have said artificial intelligence, you wouldn't know what it was talking about. Now, things are still being fulfilled. Prophecy will be fulfilled just exactly as God has written it in the book. It'll come to pass, no matter how absurd it seems like when you first heard it. I thought about that many years. I don't know. I've been saved since I was 22 and always loved to hear preachers preach on the second coming of Christ. I heard about the mark of the beast and the number and all that early on after I was saved. And I was interested. I've been interested ever since. I've been looking for Jesus really ever since. But boy, now I see how much closer it is, how much is been, that was predicted is now fulfilled. And then a lot of stuff when I started out as a young preacher that I preached as prophecy. It's now history. It's already fulfilled, already happened, already come. I'm saying all that just to say the truth is this woman here, she was prophesying of the burial of Christ by what she was doing. And they didn't like the fact that Lazarus here was a testimony for Jesus. Now you come in to the 6 days before Passover. Passover was fixing to be Passover week. Now you got them coming into the eastern gate of Jerusalem with the palm branches and all that, with the sacrificial lamb. Probably I don't open up this too much, except you remember that I've presented this to you before. If you had been there, here's what you would have seen. In the main court of the temple, the eastern gate that's been shut ever since this day that Jesus came through it. That's another prophecy fulfilled. But on that day, the priest, the entourage of priests, the official priests came in. They had the four-legged lamb. They brought it in. They set it up. They tethered it, tied it in the square. People could come and see if they could find any blemish in it. It's during that same time, the Pharisees interrogating Jesus, the real Lamb of God, trying to find a blemish in him. That whole week went that way. And finally, near the end of the week, and I'm not going to open this up anymore, but if you'll study your Bible, Jesus was not crucified on Good Friday. Help yourself, the Word of God, which one you going to believe? He was not crucified on Good Friday. You can count the days of, and it's a day difference there in the Israel time. There's a good chance it was Wednesday, by our, what we call Wednesday, our time. Certainly no later than Thursday, because it had to be one of those. It could not be Good Friday. Say, how you know? Because Matthew 12:40 says he was in the tomb 3 days and three nights. As Jonah was in the belly of the whale, Jesus would be in the heart of the earth for 3 days and three nights. Count your hours. You can't get it from Good Friday any way you try. He came out on the first day of the week, which was any time after midnight on what you and I call Saturday night. Saturday was the seventh day. Sunday is the first day of the week. Somewhere before daylight, probably for sure, somewhere in that area, on Sunday morning, Christ arose. Of course he did. And the women came to the tomb with these things like Mary had here, the ointments and the spices. They came and they found the rock was rolled away. So, but here the entourage is coming into the temple area. The priests come first, and they were waving willow tree branches and palm branches. They were coming in a parade, so to speak, following the priest that was carrying the four-legged lamb. Now, when they finished with all those willow branches and palm branches, they threw them down. Well, following that while they're doing that ceremony, the crowd's attention is directed then to what was coming in the eastern gate behind them. Jesus was coming in, riding on the foal, the colt of an ass. He was coming in. The kids and the crowd and the disciples were picking up the same palm branches and the same willow tree branches, and they were waving them also, and they were saying, "Hosanna," remember? All right, that's what we call it Palm Sunday for. Jesus was coming in. The truth is, if you follow that whole story the rest of that week, you'll find out that they took the kangaroo court, they condemned Jesus, Pilate ordered him to be crucified, they took him out on Mount Calvary, and they crucified him between the two thieves there. And if you'll follow it close enough, you'll find out as the four-legged lamb that the priest brought in was to be offered in the temple, as the priest raised the knife to kill the four-legged lamb on the altar, he cried out words in Hebrew, the same words that we read in your King James English Bible. Telestai in Hebrew means in our English Bible, "It is finished." Jesus on the cross said, "It is finished," at the same time the priest was saying Telestai and cutting the throat of the lamb, because God's lamb was on the cross. And the four-legged lamb that represented him was on the altar. And the word of God was being fulfilled. The lamb that taketh away the sin of the world was on the cross. That's no coincidence. That's no accident. That was the fulfillment of God's word all the way back. And today, folks, what you say, what's left to be fulfilled? I can hardly think of a thing. Somebody said, "I'm not looking for any more signs. I'm listening for the sound." Listening for the sound of the trumpet. Amen. All right, you got me off on that. I could see some of you thinking that way, and I'm sorry. Time's up, isn't it?